Good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. We got the whole gang back together almost. Morning. Good morning, Jill. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Awesome. And Rick is, I think he's screaming up the stairs right now.
He was running. I could see him doing his little run.
Was that sleeping in? Is that like what happens when you retire? You
well, my brother's here with Annie. His granddaughter. So he was probably playing with her and got distracted.
So Rick will be with us in just a second. We'll hear him burst through the doors in any moment now. So just watch for that. But we got the whole gang back together. We're live again. We were pre-recorded last weekend. It was the long weekend and we all kind of were doing different things. So it was kind of, you know, it's nice for us to get a little break too. Oh, look who's here. Look at that.
Don't mind the out of breath sounds coming from Rick.
The panting in just a second here. Yeah. Morning, Rick.
Good morning.
You made it.
I made it.
Wow. No tickets.
Nope, none.
They didn't. They couldn't catch you, even if they tried.
Like the wind.
Like the wind. Okay, well, welcome to Garden Talk. We just got going here. So let's start. We'll let Rick catch his breath for a second. And what's going on in the Garden Center?
Well, in the Garden Center, I've actually been away for 2 weeks. So in the Garden Center, just from following my staff, we're getting ready for next year is what we're doing.
Oh, wow.
As like sort of a management ownership team. So all of our bookings we're going through with our growers, figuring out what varieties did well, which ones didn't, and sort of choosing what we're gonna, the lineups for next year. So
do you ever get requests from buyers? Like, what I mean is like customers. Do you ever get like, hey, can you guys bring this in for me next year? Do you ever get things like that?
Yeah, especially in the vegetable world.
Oh, okay.
I get lots of requests for like this type of tomato, or hey, my grandma used to grow this and it did really well. Now, the one thing that's a little bit of a challenge with that is a lot of those varieties that are older aren't as disease resistant. Although they might have been like tried and true back in the day, they might not be as resistant to the mildews or the viruses or the blights or things like that. So it's kind of like, okay, education in the fact, hey, well, here's what it was, but here is a better version of it now. So you can still get the same thing, but...
So sometimes you can steer people towards something that's very similar, but maybe is a bit more developed.
Disease resistant. And that's something that you, when you see like a vegetable, like a tomato, you'll see like an early girl and then you have a bush early girl. So now an indeterminate variety is now a determinate variety. So it's a shorter, can be used for a pot. And then you'll see letters after them, like VFF or you'll just see like all these letters after, and those are more resistant of the diseases. So how they choose those is as the seeds, they'll have a plot where they'll collect their seeds from, and then they will choose by natural selection which ones grew better, which ones were more disease resistant,
and
only harvest the seeds from those. So
and then they just kind of keep going, and next generation, and until they come up with the seed that by natural or by selection. Is resistant, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not about like genetically modifying it and going in and, you know,
Or they might take cuttings only from those certain plants too, like the stronger of the plants. So if they see like a mildew on a plant, they're not going to, of course, take any seeds or any cuttings from that plant that had the mildew on it. Or maybe if that plant had a really bad bug infestation, they might not choose that plant because it was weaker.
That's no different than the way that they select. We, you know, all the fruit and vegetables we eat, you know, are selected over generations and in some cases a few hundred years to produce the fruit that we and food that we eat now, right? Like if you've seen pictures of a banana, the way a banana actually was, you know, the bananas we eat, they're delicious, little teeny weeny seeds in them. You barely know that they're in there. A banana before that selection had big seeds in it. There wasn't actually a lot of fruit in it.
And then one step further, Jay, like with some of the flowers or even like the ornamental plants, they will actually breed the plants that maybe got a virus that changed the flower a certain color.
Oh.
And then now they have developed a new color. Or maybe a bee has pollinated from one plant to another to cross-pollinate them, and now you've created a new color, so now they'll harvest off of that plant.
Right.
Yeah. Just like we have a sheepadoodle now. Right?
Like dogs.
Half standard poodle, half
sheepdog.
Standard sheepdog.
Right.
So it's really neat what they're doing with plants. They're coming out with more and more varieties. So now is the time when we're actually choosing those varieties, going to see the trials, and doing a little bit of traveling to do that and meeting with my growers and, hey, what's new that's out there?
And I suppose, too, you would get feedback or you'd see like returns on certain varieties of plants, too, right? I mean, there are going to be things that work, that are developed, that work well in Vancouver and Victoria that just don't cut it here, right?
Absolutely. And there's lots of things that might be like set as zone 4 or zone 5, and my grower's like, hey, this is a really cool plant. So I might, they might send me a few samples. I'll send it up to Emma Lake, to my aunt who's got a cabin up there, and I'll be like, hey, let's try and grow this and let's see if it's, it survives the winter. And if it survives the winter, then we might put it on our list for the next year.
Right. Yeah. And I suppose there's always more and more and more coming out.
Exactly. Well,
and a lot of the new varieties that came out, let's say 1 or 2 years ago, this year, the nurseries, the wholesale nurseries were growing those varieties that weren't available this year, but they'll be available next spring. So that, you know, it always takes, when new varieties come out, they just don't go to the market. Like, that's what we get a lot of times. We get a lot of people asking us, do you have this variety? I haven't even heard of it yet.
Right.
It's not on the list yet. Yeah, even though it's been like proven winners, let's say, has released it, the industry hasn't caught up to actually releasing it to the public yet.
Well, in Canada, sometimes it's just that one step behind the U.S.
That's
too,
right. Yeah, so. For sure. Yep. Because all of the growers are down in the States.
Yeah,
right?
And then we need to get certain rights and permissions to them in order for our growers to be able to grow them
and
up
there's
here.
Only, so. There's only a handful of them that have those permissions up here in Canada. So.
Yeah. So it's a process. And I don't think people realize when you're paying for that $1.99 or $2.49 plant, everything that goes into creating that.
That's for sure.
So that's like kind of the fun behind the scenes part that we're working on.
1-877-332-8255. Let's switch gears here. We've got one of our regulars, Les, on the line. Les, hang on. Our first call that came in was from Violet, who's in Maple Creek. Hi, Violet. Good morning.
It is a good morning.
Right on. What's going on in your yard right now?
Well, I've got these bushes that are right by my house, and they're an evergreen that has, just like pine trees, they've got those kind of, I don't know, what do you call them, leaves or whatever?
Needles, yep.
Yeah, the needles, right.
Yep.
And they're turning yellow. And is there something I could do? Is there something eating on them, or is it...
This time of the year, this time of the year, if you're starting seeing turning gray or yellow type of situation, a lot of times it'll be because you may have a spider mite, that's sucking on them, it could be, too wet, too dry, or, you know, those kind of things as well.
It wouldn't be too wet.
Not around Maple Creek, right?
We had real good rain here the last week, so.
Good, perfect. But, you've been too dry, so what happens when in dry areas, you get a lot of insects, like spider mites, love that kind of conditions. Okay. And you need a magnifying glass to see spider mite. It's not like a regular spider. Okay. Yeah. It's in between needles. Then they suck on the needles. And of course, if it's drier, then your plant can't replenish that in time, you know, and then you start seeing repercussions in the needles.
So what can you spray something on there?
The best thing to spray with that, if you still have some in the shelf, is malathion, right?
Malathion?
Yeah, wearing gloves and mask and that kind of stuff. Yep. But otherwise, you can use Endol. It's a pyrethrin in canola oil, and insecticidal soap all together, and you can do that, or you can just blast them up with cold water as well.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yes, okay. I was watering them last year, but I didn't water this year because, I don't know, it seemed to be raining.
Yeah, but, you know, like sometimes the rain is good, but sometimes, especially near you, it's not quite enough because you get pretty warm down there too, so.
Yes.
And so just, you know, probing the soil, that's all I always say, is just probe the soil and, you know, down, you know, 6-8 inches down into the soil, and then see what the moisture is down there. That's how you can tell, not by the surface.
Yes. Well, I was watering them quite good, but then maybe not enough.
Yep. But,
and then another thing I have is a little evergreen growing. I guess it must have come from seed somewhere, because I have 10 trees that I had gotten from India and had years ago. And it's growing right against the cement by my Quonset, and I'd like to move it.
Yep, move it first thing in the spring.
First thing in the spring?
Yep, before as soon as it crosses out of the ground, move it then.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, that's what I want to know. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
And then everything else seems to be okay.
Right.
Perfect.
On.
Except the deer. I can't keep them out of my yard.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then thank you very much.
Thanks
good
for call. Take care, Violet.
Yeah, hey, thanks.
Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255 is the number you call and the number you text. We're going to check our text line when we get back, and we're going to get to Les's call when we return as well. Quick break right now. I'm Jay with Rick and Jill. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Happy Sunday morning, and welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Lots to talk about today. It's supposed to be a pretty nice day after a very, we were just talking about this on the break, a very rainy end of this last week. With, if you've heard about it in Saskatoon, lots and lots of flooded basements and, oh, Jill, yours too, hey?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had a restoration company in my house yesterday, so they were tearing everything out, tearing carpets out, baseboards, drywall. I probably have to do the vanities, the bathroom.
Yeah, oh, no.
It's kind of a mess, but yeah, check to make sure your sub pumps are working. Make sure things are graded properly in your yard. Yep. With mine, it was a sub pump failure that happened. So, but I mean, I hear it happening everywhere.
And it's like, I have another friend that it wasn't the sump pump that was the issue. Actually, the groundwater wasn't too much of a problem. It was the sewer that backed up and came up through the shower.
Yeah.
And so it's there in the same boat now, and it's calling into the insurance. Yep. And
yeah. No, and my house just had a full reno, and now we'll be doing another full reno.
In the basement?
In the basement.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's really frustrating. Sorry to hear about that. Let's go to our phone lines. Dan, hang on. Ian will be coming up, but in the longest right now is Les, who's in Corning. Good morning, Les. How are you?
Doing good. After a nice shot of rain, little hail came with it, but we got lucky. We missed a lot of it.
Good. Right on. What's going on in your yard?
I got green beans. Now, when I planted these, I just went to the store and seen the package of green beans. Didn't really pay attention, but I have never grown anything that looks like these.
Okay.
They got about 2 feet tall, the beans did, plants itself, and they shot vines. Now, these vines are about 5 and 6 feet long, and they'll wrap around anything and everything. And they wrap now that into rope style together. And on these vines, they're just starting to shoot little blooms. We have yet to see a bean.
Yep.
I have no idea what kind they are or anything. Will I ever get a bean off these things?
Well, those ones are usually called runner beans is what we call those. And I know my mom has her beans in her yard, and we went out. She's like, oh, we'll just go pick beans from the garden this year.
Yeah, same
boat.
Big plants
with flowers on them, but no beans yet. And I've been asking around just a few people, and it seems like it's the same story. And I think it's due to the weather that we've had this year. We had a really cold start to the spring, and then it didn't get really warm till later. So we need this heat in order to push the growth and the blooms to turn into fruit.
We really haven't had much heat.
No.
If you think about it,
July, like a little bit in the beginning part of July.
But just a bit. It only hit like kind of 30. It topped out there. Years gone by, we've had 35s and 36s for, you know, weeks on end.
Our cherry tomatoes are producing, but our main tomatoes, I mean, they're large, but there's not a lot of, they're flowering now, but they're late.
But I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to do some crop covering with our plants for going into the fall season so that we can extend the season a little bit. Or we might even be making little cloches over top of our garden so that we can make a sort of microclimate to keep it warm at night.
And September, we still have nice daytime temperatures, but the nighttime temperatures get a bit cool to finish off those crops. Yeah. So that's why we need those blankets.
So
but seeing
less.
That they're flowering, the other thing is you'll want to make sure that because they're flowering late that you are attracting pollinators to your yard as well too, because a lot of times the pollinators will be in your yard when other things are blooming, so you have to try and get those pollinators to those beans while they're blooming.
And I've noticed my yard, my neighbors usually kept 2 hives all the time, and now they stopped this year, and I've noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've noticed I haven't seen the honeybees around as much because the hives weren't right next door.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess that's kind of a hope for the best kind of thing, Les.
Yep.
Yeah, I've noticed everything is so late this year. We're just picking peas now, which is weird for being planted May 27th, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just starting to get cucumbers, tomatoes, like you said, Rick, just blooming like crazy now.
Yep.
But we're so smoky down here, right here today anyway.
Yep.
We see about 150 yards.
Oh, yep. Boy.
And that makes a difference, too. But, I mean, we still got, you know, 3 good weeks of August yet, so we'll get some production.
Yeah, just make sure you keep up on the fertilizer, watch your water, and keep it consistent is the key to success. And then once the temperatures get a little bit cooler, we'll have to start watching our nighttime temperatures.
And because my leaves are so big, I think I'm going to go through and let the sunlight get at those areas where they're producing, and I'll do some pruning too, because right now there's not much light getting into the center of those plants.
Okay, well, good. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks, Les. Take care.
Bye.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, quick look at the clock. We got time for some more here. Waiting the longest is Dan, who's in Saskatoon. Good morning, Dan.
Oh, good morning. My question involves Swedish aspens that I planted about 4 years ago.
Yep.
About 4 feet apart near the house. They've grown very well, but starting last year, I started getting yellowing on one in particular. And I fertilize regularly, and then this year the yellowing on that one has gotten worse. The middle one has some yellow, and the one on the right looks healthy, yet they're only about 4 feet apart. I thought I might not be watering enough, so I do water a lot, and I've been fertilizing about every 3 weeks this year.
Good.
And so I'm not quite sure what to do. I read about something called deep root fertilization.
Yep.
But I don't know how to do that or who I could get to do that.
Yeah, you can do that yourself. You just get a Ross root feeder. It's called a Ross root feeder, and you can put the pellets right into the water feeder. You hook it under your hose, and you stick the rod into the ground. And you got to do that right at the trunk, okay? That has to be out, you know, about 3 or 4 feet away from the tree.
It's okay. called a raw root
Ross,
feeder?
R-O-S-S, Ross.
Oh, Ross, R-O-S-S.
Yep. And Ross is the brand name. There is other brand names of root feeders as well,
but not
too.
A lot of the root feeders have the actual, where you can put the fertilizer pellets in it, right? So there is some Miracle-Gro ones and that kind of stuff, but the one you want like that I see that works well is the Ross root feeder.
Now, before we get to that, though, Dan, what we should probably do is probe that soil, because I've also experienced this myself with not Swedish aspens, but my birch trees.
Birch trees.
It's too much water. Yep. And it's the same result, is if they're drowning in water.
They'll turn yellow as well.
They'll turn yellow, right? Yep. So sometimes it can be too much water.
Now, depending on yellowing what it is, yellowing could be chlorotic or it could be an issue with the water as well. So, but sometimes it's both the same. Like if the yellowing is just in between the veins, then you've got an iron deficiency, which usually means a water issue, okay?
Right.
If the whole leaf is turning completely yellow, then that's a different issue. Now, also watch for little holes and sawdust at the base of the hole, tree as well, okay? That's a poplar borer. And you can Google that one and see what that looks like, and you can watch for that as well.
Yeah, I don't think I have that. So you mentioned prodding the soil.
Probing. I use a piece of rebar, 3/8 rebar.
Oh, rebar, just to probe around.
Probe down, you know, 8, 12 inches down into the ground.
Yeah.
And pull up a sample, see if it's soaking wet. If it's muddy and soaking wet, then it's too much water, right?
Too much, Okay. And the Ross root feeder, is that available at Dutch growers?
Yeah, most garden centers, you can find a Ross root feeder.
And it'll be at Dutch, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call, Dan. Good luck. Take care.
Thank you.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, so hang on, guys. We got to go to our news update right now. Lynn, you're coming up with Amanda Villa and tomato question, so that's coming up. Tanis, we'll talk about roses with no buds. We'll figure that out with Tanis. And Ian will be coming up right away. First call on the way, we'll be talking about a tree that we're wanting to prune and some aspen questions. So, guys, hang on the line. We'll get to your calls when we get back. And I promise we'll get to the text, too. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You're listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650. CKOM. Welcome back to the show. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We got lots of calls to get to. Those texts we'll get to shortly here. Let's get things going. We got lots of people to talk to. So first we're going to go with Ian, who's in Saskatoon. And Ian sent us this picture. Good morning, Ian.
Hi, good morning. I'm not sure what that tree is there, folks.
It's a linden. It looks like a linden.
Okay. And for access for people going in and out of that building, I would like to cut it back, you know, just take my 2-inch lopper or 2-inch Fisker gear thing, and or even just a saw, and cut the bottom 2 branches, say maybe 3, even with the sidewalk. Is it the time of year to do that?
Yeah, now it's not a problem. I mean, they've done their major growth now, And so I wouldn't do that linden in the spring, right, because it's pushing too much sap. But you could do that either any time between now and the end of October.
Okay. And I was going to send some pictures of another tree. So I have a green ash that I planted as a 6-inch seedling back in 09. You know, and it's 23, 25 feet tall. A couple of weeks ago, I talked to you, or maybe it was just Jill, I can't remember, on the one side, the leaves were kind of really small.
Yep.
So what I had a little sprinkler, so I turned it on and just kind of watered, because I have ants down in the roots, I think.
Okay.
And I couldn't get a praying mantis, they were out. So I kind of just put it on low, and I let it soak in, like, say, a 5 to 6 inch round circle. And I fell asleep, and I left it on for probably 3.5 hours.
Yep.
Now that side is looking really good.
Yep.
But on the other side, now those leaves are kind of yellowing. An awful lot of them are dropping. They're curling. They just don't look healthy.
Yeah. Did you water on that side too?
No, I did not.
Yeah. So do the same thing on the other side.
Okay.
Because the branches will grab from that side of the tree, right? And where the roots go out and go up that side of the tree. So, like, the same thing as a lot of people will put up, put a new garage in their backyard or something like that, and they cut all the roots, and they wonder why all the leaves are turning small and everything else on that side of the tree, right? And that's because they cut all the roots on that side of the tree, right? So, same thing. If you give it a good soak on one side, do it on the other side as well, all the way around the tree.
So, I walked up to the tree, Rick, because I don't really know much about emerald ash borer.
Yep.
So, I was walking around the tree, and then I've got all these holes. So I Googled emerald ash borer. I guess they're diamond shaped. These aren't diamond, or not diamond, D-shaped. You know,
D-shaped, yep.
Up, down, whatever.
Yep.
But I have probably 12, maybe 13 that I could see holes, round holes that would be about the size of a pencil lead.
Yep.
And so I don't know, like, is something eating the tree?
Well,
like, we did have a woodpecker around, so that kind of worried me that maybe it is an emerald ash borer, but it's not the right holes.
Yeah, not the right holes. And round, we haven't had any confirmed emerald ash borer in Saskatchewan yet. Winnipeg has been the closest to us where we've seen them, and then down in the States as well, Minneapolis area and that kind of thing, but not here in Saskatchewan. And so, but I mean, not saying they could be around because people transport firewood. That's the way they come, right? So,
yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, I know there's lots of other natural borers that will go into an ash as well once the tree is weakened, because ash borers are attracted to stressed trees. Okay. Trees let out a pheromone type of thing and then attracts the borers to them, to basically is nature's way of cleaning up things. Okay. And so if the tree is stressed because of water or nutrients or whatever else, then you just attract borers.
Okay, so if I water this again, like on the other side,
yep.
Just give it, I can't remember what the fertilizer is I should give to a tree.
Yeah, just now it's getting kind of late because ashes are going to start, you know, shutting down now. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you have never fertilized before, I'd just give them a 20-20-20 right now. All right, and then this next spring, start with 30-10-10 every 3 weeks, right,
okay.
At the drip line of the tree.
30-10-10, that's
yep.
What you...
Yeah.
Quick question. I do have a bunch of mugel pines that are in a row, might even be one plant, I don't know, but it's like 16 feet long and 4 feet, you know, depth out from the house.
Yep.
I have to cut one end of it back to allow somebody in to do some roof repairs.
Yep.
Can I cut that too?
Yeah, you can cut it back as long as you still see green. If you just see stumps, then it's going to be a while before they're going to come back.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, like, I'm where I was going to cut, it's probably like a 3 or 4 inch,
yeah,
you know, round
stock. Stip stock, yeah. Yeah, you can. You,
yeah.
Now is the perfect time to trim them.
Okay, just a comment. I had a volunteer hollyhock we haven't had hollyhocks in the yard for 10 or 12 years. Two beautiful flowers. Next week is normally when the hummingbirds would show up.
Yeah.
The flowers got knocked off in that rain. I'm so
depressed.
Too bad.
Sorry to hear that.
Okay.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Ian.
Hey.
Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, next person waiting the longest. We got a whole bunch of people lined up. Guys, hang on. Thanks for your patience. Right now we're going to Last Mountain Lake to talk to Lynn. Hi there, Lynn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Awesome.
How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for waiting for us. What's your question for us?
I have a question about Amanda Villa. I've had it for probably 4 years, at least, give or take. Anyway, I winter the guy, I take it to my office, it gets a south exposure, manages through the winter, keeps it its leaves. And right now, it's beautiful vine, full green foliage, not a damn flower on it. And so the last few years, it doesn't start to bloom until mid-end September.
Oh, wow.
I'm just curious, what am I doing wrong? I fertilized it with 2020. I may have not been very consistent with that. But, yeah, it's super green and healthy looking. No flowers.
Now, what I would do with that, you're fertilizing with a 2020, which is a great, like, sort of well-rounded fertilizer. Let's try pumping that middle number up to a 15-30-15. That might help your plant rebloom for you a little bit and push some new blooming growth, because I might have too much nitrogen in there, which is promoting new growth and nice and getting it nice and green, but we need to really focus on the blooming. So maybe start that earlier. And what I would suggest is fertilizing every 2 weeks. And start also, that right at Mother's Day. You can start
and also add some alfalfa pellet tea as well, because you're probably all out of your other micronutrients, which your other fertilizers don't have, like boron, magnesium, calcium, those kind of things as well.
We notice this lots with older plants too, because there's no nutrients left in those soil. That soil, it's been in the same pot, it's been growing for a length of time. So we need to make sure that we're feeding them more regularly. The plant is also bigger and more established, so you're watering it more often as well too. So when you're watering something more, you're going to need to feed it more as well.
Okay. So the funny thing about it is, because I have it in the office and we've had, like, our springs have been cool, because it's very fragile, so I don't bring it out until mid-June. I leave it in my office until later in the spring.
That should be fine. When you get it outside, you can even start fertilizing it Mother's Day in the office. And then when you bring it outside, just keep fertilizing it. Just, you're not going to be watering it as often until you move it outside.
And just not straight out into the full sun right away, you know, like climatize it a bit.
And do you do any pruning on it as well?
I haven't done any pruning to it, no.
Yeah, if you want to give it a little bit of a prune, you could take probably about a third of it off this year and just sort of prune it back a little bit. And what that's going to do is help promote some new growth. And the buds on Amanda Villa come off the new growth as well, too.
Do that right when you bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, should I prune it in the fall before I take it in?
Yep.
I would prune it in the fall and then maybe just a light pruning in the spring.
Okay, great. And then my next question is about beefsteak tomatoes. I had two plants. Tons of flowers, lots of blossoms, doing really well. We've had some fresh tomatoes off them already. But I don't know if I burnt it from fertilizing or over-fertilizing, because a lot of the blossoms never did anything. They fell off.
It could have been that they never got pollinated, or it could have.
That's what I wondered.
Yeah. So they won't produce a fruit if they never got pollinated. So that's usually my number one thing that I'll see. Either that, or they had a drought period. So when they're in the blooming period, if they got too dry, we had like a heat spell, and then they dried out once during that period of time, then you'll lose those blossoms
so
too.
Be the bee. Take the Q-tip out there.
Yeah, take the Q-tip. Okay. Okay. Oh, great.
Good luck with that.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thanks.
Take care.
Very much.
Hey, bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Rick and Dave, we're going to get to your call shortly, but waiting is Tanis, who's on the line. Hi, Tanis. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm fine. Beautiful
awesome.
Day out there.
Right on. Now, tell me first, before we get going, I can never remember how to pronounce the name of the town you're in.
Beaulieu.
Okay. I drive by it all the time, and I'm like, I think that's how you say it, but, you know.
Yep. It is.
Perfect. Okay, so roses, what's going on with them?
Well, I started a rose garden a year and a half ago, and for the winter, I covered them with pails. It was a rush job. I was away. They came out fine. I took the pails off, but they looked like they were moldy. But they came back. I had beautiful roses. Now, they're not replenishing. Like, am I missing something? Did I do something wrong? I was told years ago, when you cut the dead head off, you go down to the first six leaf little branch piece.
Yep. Then after that, you need fertilizing to get new growth. Okay. Because they'll rebloom on new growth again.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, I haven't seen any green parts or buds coming.
Yep. So what you need to do is that throughout the year, starting right away in the spring, you know, around May to 10th, Mother's Day, you need to start fertilizing every 3 weeks. And you need to promote new growth.
Okay.
Okay, and then that's the only way you're going to get new flowers is by new growth coming again, and they'll produce that way. And if you haven't got new growth, you're not going to get new flowers.
Now, you had some new growth because of spring. Because of spring, right?
Now you need the nutrients to produce the new growth all summer.
However, it's too late this time of season.
Yes, don't start now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's done for the year. There is rose-specific fertilizer, too.
If you have an organic vegetable fertilizer, which only has like a 1 or 2 nitrogen in it, you could give it some of that just because you probably haven't given any fertilizer this year at all.
Right.
And then just to because you got a whole month yet, just to make the plant stronger for the wintertime, okay? But nothing, don't use a 20-20-20, don't use a 30-10-10. It's way too much nitrogen to get it growing this time of the year.
Oh, I see. Okay. So I'm done for the year then.
Yes, basically.
But you'll get a second chance next year.
And then Rick, for pruning next spring, just like a light pruning spring.
Just a light pruning next spring. And then making sure that when you put that pail over top that there's always snow around it and everything else because it can still freeze through the pail. Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Because I mulched them last year all around them.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, sounds good. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Take care, Tannis. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-877-332-8255. Rick and Dave, you guys are next. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Thanks for spending Sunday with us. Got to say thanks for the patience for everybody who's waiting on the phone lines. We'll try to get to
lots of calls, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It is great. Let's go. Dave, coming up right away. Todd, hang on. We'll get to your calls. Rick has been waiting the longest. He's in Weyburn. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Good.
Right on. What's going on in your neighborhood?
Well, I got some Swedish aspens that are having problems, too. Mine are about 14 years old, and I've had one that's been deteriorating over the years, but it's on the lowest part of my foundation. It's got quite a grade. So I always just thought I was getting too much water. But now, about 3 weeks ago, one of my biggest trees, about 40 feet, started with brown leaves getting brown on kind of, mid-stalk. And they're soft. I cut off a branch. It's green inside. And I couldn't really see any bugs. There's ants all over it.
Now, are they turning sort of an orange color, or what color are the leaves turning?
Well, they're turning brown.
Like a brown. There's ants all over it, so maybe aphids.
Yeah, if it's turning brown, there's two things it can be. You might want to send a picture to info@dutchgrowers.com. But aspens also get what's called bronze leaf disease, okay? And so you can always Google that and just see what it looks like for pictures, right? And it usually happens up, sporadic mid-range of the tree as well, and also at the bottom. And the leaves will turn sort of a bronzy color, okay? It's called bronze leaf disease.
Now it's a couple weeks ago. Now it's gotten right to the top, and this is like a 40-foot tree.
Yeah, so...
And it's happening all over the neighborhood. My neighbor's got a little bit younger trees that are well-established, and he's got one that's dying.
So check for poplar borer. Okay, so you see holes the size of a ballpoint pen head and the shape of a D, and they'll be probably around 6-8 feet off the ground, and you might even see some sawdust around the base. If you have the borer, then that's almost a death sentence because there's no chemical anymore to really take care of them unless you get them injected by, a professional tree care person, right? But other than that, if you just got a few holes, you can take what we call Dr. Doom. It's the heavy duty one, and they have a straw on them, a red straw on them, just like a WD-40 can, okay? And you can spray them into those holes, okay?
I never seen any holes. My sister was down from Winnipeg, and they lost their aspens, and they cut them down. It was some kind of a beetle that was boring into their tree, and she come and looked, and she said, geez, I can't see nothing.
Yep.
But I kind of got, hairline cracks on some of the stalks. So I just sprayed them with that black sealer, for sealing off limbs, just in case there was a bug going in there.
Was it oozing, those cracks?
Some of them, yeah.
Okay, because if it's oozing, then you could have a canker in them as well. Okay, and that's a viral. Okay, a canker, and if that's the case, then there's nothing you can do. It's within with the sap system. Okay.
Jesus. Okay. So it's happening all over town.
Yeah, no, in Saskatoon and that, you'll see it everywhere, right? So it's a problem. They grow so fast, and if you don't keep them healthy, like watered, because we went through drought periods and that kind of stuff. We've had some rains this year, but I mean, if they're not kept healthy, like fertilizing, because they grow so quickly, and keep them watered, not too wet, not too dry, then they're stressed, and then the insects are attracted to them.
There's nothing you can do. You can't spray Actiban on the ground or something like that. Or
we used to use a product called Saigon.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not available anymore.
No, Actiban won't do nothing?
Not really. It's a contact on the outside, and these bugs are inside.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So, okay, yeah, just keep them healthy and check for those holes. That's the biggest thing you can do for them. And if you want to, send some pictures to info@dutchgrowers.com.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks, Rick.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick. Take care. 1-877-332-8255. Now, we only got like about 30 seconds till we got to go to our news break here. So Dave and Todd and Tracy, we're all going to get to you guys as soon as we can here. Just stick with us and we'll get your questions answered. Let's see if we got any quick questions in here. What's the best chemical for controlling kochia?
Kochia. So kochia is, it's also known as burning bush. It's an annual. So best thing to do if you have it, just a spray, spray it. You could spray it with Roundup if you want to, but best thing to do is just pull it right from the root.
Before it goes into seed, because it has a zillion seeds, right? Because there's a kochia that's out in the fields that has, like I said, a zillion seeds. So make sure it doesn't go to seed. So cut off the head. Just don't pick it and throw it on the ground because it'll still go to seed.
It will.
And even if you spray it, it'll still go to seed. So pick it. Okay. And especially cut off the heads.
We're going to stop right there. Todd, Tracy, Dave, we're going to get your calls as quick as we can. Stick with us. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Well, welcome to hour number two of Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Thanks for joining us and spending Sunday here with us. We've got calls and texts, lots to talk about here today. So we're going to our next call, waiting the longest, and we'll get to you guys just in the order they showed up. That's all it is. Dave is in Saskatoon. Hi, Dave. How's it going?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Awesome. What's going on with your tiger lilies?
Well, I have one bunch of tiger lilies that I didn't get around to looking at them because I was so busy cutting grass and hedges and everything. But I found that the leaves were all holes in them, and I never got any. The flowers just didn't bloom this year on that particular patch of tiger lilies. I had a couple other groupings; they were fine. And then I found on this the bush that was bad small red bugs on them.
Yeah, so what you have is the lily beetle, and it's a little red beetle. Early in the spring, you'll see the eggs actually on the underside of the leaves. There's you can spray it with Bug X out, but you need to do that early on in the season before the buds get on the flower, because it will that pyrethrin will affect the blooms. But you want to go out there and you want to pick off those eggs. So on the underside of the leaf, you take a lint roller or a piece of tape or even just your hands and a piece of paper and knock those off. And then it's almost becomes, once you have it, it becomes almost like a bi-weekly or every twice a week, go out in the garden and grab a cup of coffee and go search for those lily beetles. And that's all you can really do to control it. You got to be search and destroy to be able to prevent it. Now, remember that the beetles are going to kind of land into the ground, and then they're going to come back every year. So you want to make sure you're getting them at that egg stage so that they can't become an adult and then start their cycle all over
and,
again.
And eggs will be just little orange eggs in a row on the backside of the leaves.
Yeah.
What could I change a location? I'd like to move them from... they're beside my backyard garage right now, and I was thinking of moving them to the front of the house.
You definitely can. You're probably just going to move some eggs with them, though. If you want to wait until the fall, once the leaves have died back down, you can harvest the bulb, sort of cut them back, or even wait until spring, and then sort of mark them with a stick. That might even be your better bet.
And remove all the soil when you.
And then you can remove all the soil, yep. and then move them, and then you might get rid of that beetle so you don't transfer it.
Okay, I'll try that.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Going to Outlook Rick now to talk to Todd. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Good morning.
Awesome.
sorry, should I turn the speaker off? Is that too much of an echo?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit windy where you are, sounds like. So.
Yeah, I'm just walking out by the irrigation canals. It's a little windy. Question about, I have like a huge bed, like a 5x50 bed that I've been prepping for the last couple of years and never got around to planting. Want to plant some like raspberries or, you know, and blueberries and stuff like that.
Yep.
Is there anything I can plant this fall or do I wait till spring?
Yeah, if you want to plant the raspberries and that in the spring, there's not much you want to put in there right now. Just basically just, you know, make sure you get all the weeds out of the, now's your time to get, you know, do the summer, almost like a summer fowling, right?
But if you went to the garden center, you probably could find some Saskatoons and some blueberries.
Yeah. Oh, you know, if you want,
like the, you've got time this year to plant them in right now.
Sorry. Yeah. If you were just going to put those two types of plants in, then if you can get them, you can put them in still now. Yes.
I know that raspberries have been a hard commodity to find this time of year, but yeah. I know we still have them, some Saskatoons and blueberries.
But blueberries, you can still lots of time to get rooted in. If you can find raspberries, you can root them in. Saskatoons, you can get them rooted in right now, not a problem.
And I would use an H-Start probiotic or a Mike's, like mycorrhizome when you're planting them, just to get those roots developed a little bit more, too.
Sure. Oh. Like palms of raspberries around the plants around the garage and fence, and the people aren't that interested in picking them.
If you want to transplant them, you got to wait till fall, okay, until the leaves start falling off the trees.
Okay.
And if you do transplant them now, then they won't make it.
Sure. Can I ask one more question about potato seeds?
Okay.
So I got like lots of potato seeds from our, so I know how to harvest them out of the pods. If we were going to try to germinate them this winter, or when should we start trying to germinate them?
Potato seeds, germinating potato seeds. Or they just go back in the ground next year, don't they?
Yeah, well, like what you can do is if you let those potato seeds ripen right out, and then you can harvest them, and then you could try to get them to grow. The best way for obviously potatoes is by the tubers, right? Because you don't know what type of, you know, from the seeds, you don't know what type of potato you're going to get because it's been pollinated with whatever, right? And so you might not get the same variety as what you had in the ground with the plant. Depends what they're crossed with.
Yeah, well, I've got like 5 different varieties.
Yep.
We're just more interested in, because I spent $200 getting organic seed from Alberta, and
yep,
you know, and I save a couple hundred pounds from not eating them.
Yep,
so we're just interested in like attempting to grow from the pod.
Yep, yeah. So just harvest them in, you know, later, as late in the season as you can, and
store them.
Put them in a cool place, cool dry place.
Get into like a couple hundred seeds in each pod.
Yeah, and then what you want to do is you want to, like I said, you dry them, and if you want, you can. There's lots of ways you can just Google that of how you want to actually do that process, but otherwise, you know, dry them, put them in a cool, dry place. You could even probably put them into a fridge, but the only problem with the fridge is that a lot of times they're too humid in the fridge, and then they start molding, right? So, but just a cool, dry place is the best so that they don't mold on you. And then if you want, you can start planting them in like, say, early April, right? And if you want them, start them before you put them out, while you got time, you can do that in April and do it inside the house, or even end of March type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's just a little hard to understand you today, Todd. Your phone's cutting out a little bit, so.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
All good. Thanks for the call. Take care. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go to our next call. And Tracy is in Watrous. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Morning. Good.
Awesome.
Question. I got a farm shelter built, 5 years old, and it's Manitoba maple and green ash and about 8 feet tall. Can I get away with spraying curtail to control the weeds along the edge of the tree row?
The problem with that is you're going to get a lot of drift, right? And it's going to affect, especially the maples, they'll be affected by that. You'll see the leaves start to curl, okay?
Okay.
And so if you want to do that, you should almost do it in early spring before they leaf out, right? Or if you could do it this fall, like you almost have to do it with a hand sprayer so that you don't use any kind of a estate sprayer or something like that, you're going to get drift with it, right?
Yeah, well, I was using a hand sprayer. I'm just wondering, will drift, will they just kill the leaves, or will it affect the tree growth?
Yeah, it can affect the tree growth a bit, because you'll notice that when they do leaves curl up, I see that all the time, and maples are almost an indicator of any kind of herbicide. They're the first trees that will show it, in the leaves because they'll start curling up really tight. And and so you just have to be careful with that. I mean, if you're using a hands, if you're using a hand wand, I mean, just don't go out there when it's dead calm, because then it just sort of hovers and just lifts. Okay.
Yeah.
So you want, you don't want a 60 kilometer wind, but you don't, well, you want a little bit of breeze. Okay.
Yeah, just to control the drift.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care, Tracy. Take care.
Yep.
All right, 1-877-332-8255. We just got a call in from Derek in Battleford. Derek, hang on. We got to go to our break first. You're the first call up when we get back, and we're going to get to that text line too. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. We're going to get to those texts in just a moment. There's been quite a few of them rolled in. We got some answered off the air as well, but we'll get to lots as we can here. One more call to get to before we get to the text line, and we're going out to Battleford right now to talk to Derek. Hi, Derek. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
Pretty good. What's going on with your potatoes?
Potatoes. I got a skin problem. It's almost like, looks like scabs just on the skin. It peels off and it doesn't affect like the potato or the quality. It doesn't seem like, but it's just kind of ugly. It's kind of looking... the way to approach that.
Yeah, just watch, always rotate your potatoes in a different location every year. Don't put them in the same place. Very important. Yeah. And also, whenever you're going to put your potatoes, don't put a lot of compost, like
manure.
Or manures and that kind of stuff, because that high compost in the soil was what will cause potato scab.
Yeah, and if you want to lower the pH, the potato scab doesn't survive as well in a low pH soil. So if you're a pH, if you lower it to like 5.2, that's kind of like the ideal happy spot for eliminating potato scab.
Okay, perfect. Thank you guys very much.
Okay.
All right, take care. Thanks, Derek.
Have a good day.
You too. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go to the text line. This is Dave, who's in Saskatoon. Nine barks are getting overgrown. Can I prune them back now?
Yeah,
they are losing some of their shape.
Yeah, just nine barks. They can buy like prune them any time of the year, especially in the new growth.
Is there really at this time of year?
Yep.
Like middle of the summer.
Yep.
Are there really any shrubs we can't prune?
Well, you don't want to prune a hydrangea right now because they're in beautiful bloom now, right?
Yeah, so, but blooms. But
of course. Well, I prune them because I like to make cut flowering.
Yeah, there's a few on my table too.
Yeah.
But otherwise, everything else, right?
Everything else. Yeah,
just watch
your flowering plants. You want to prune them carefully, but otherwise, your dogwoods and your nine barks, you can give them light pruning. If you want to do a major pruning, or you want to cut them down to the ground, or 2 feet off the ground, then you want to do that when they're dormant.
Right.
But shaping that, absolutely.
I think pruning in summer, just don't do it on a really, really blasting hot day. Well, that's the biggest thing.
And even if you have to, just make sure the water gets to them, right?
Yeah.
Just talk to the people in the country. The deer do that for them every day anyways.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But like shaping a nine bark is how you keep them nice and beautiful and full and thick.
They get so sprawly and
spirea is a way to cut them, not cut them back crazy, got crazy long.
No, but even my golden spireas, and the pink spireas, they've all have brown heads on them right now. So I just give them a haircut with the hedge trimmers, and then I cut it down so I get a little bit of the branches plus all the flower heads. Give them a shot of fertilizer. They'll put on new growth for the rest of the year, and they look really good.
I wish that the listeners could see Rick's hand movements as he's going. He's got the hedge strippers going. He's just pruning things in nice circles with his hands.
I was just doing that the other day. So
talking with the hands. Okay.
Talking with the hands.
This is from Judy, who's at Echo Lake. I sent the above picture last week, still looking for an answer. Well, Judy, we weren't live last week, so that's why there was no answer. But Judy sent us a picture of what is this thing? It is a bleeding heart. It looks like that, and it's kind of yellowy and sort of.
So it looks like that bleeding heart is one of two things. It's either nutrient deficient, so give it some good fertilizer. A 20/20/20 fertilizer would be perfect for that. But also, sometimes we do find that bleeding hearts will go through a cycle where they'll go dormant in the heat of the summer too. Yeah. So when you're seeing that, you might want to just give it a good trim. Prune it back.
Okay.
Maybe I would cut about a third off of that. And then in the fall, you're going to cut it right down to the ground after it starts losing its leaves.
Okay, Judy. So hopefully that helps you out. Get it trimmed back a little bit and then.
And watch the moisture. They don't like it too wet, but they do not like it dry.
And then next spring, get out with the fertilizer starting Mother's Day and every 3 weeks, 2020 fertilizer on that
one. This is Keegan Oh, sorry. It's Andrea in Rostron. Just different name. Could you let me know the best control for thrips in dahlias, please?
Thrips and dahlias is really tricky. You can use some beneficial insects is probably the best way. But once we get into the heat of the summer, if you're growing them in a greenhouse setting or anything like that, the thrips kind of just, they attack the flowers. If you have thrips that you're wanting to use for maybe a cut flower, you can mix up maybe even a bucket of insecticidal soap or even just a Dawn dish soap and dip the flowers into the soap and undip them, and that's kind of a way you can get rid of them. But there's not too many ways other than using a beneficial insect and those little sachets you can put hang on to each plant.
Yeah, the thrips are a tough one.
They're really tough.
They're so tiny, yeah. and they're
and a lot thin. a lot of the chemicals that you can spray on them to control thrips will ruin
the flowers.
So you don't want to do that either.
Yeah. Okay. Allie is in North Battleford. I think my Saskatoons have a rust fungus. Would dormant oil be effective after they drop their leaves or in the spring?
Yeah, dormant oil is a good way of suppressing those, especially in the fall or the spring, but only when the leaves are off the plant, basically like dormant.
Okay.
And also using a copper sulfate on them as well.
Okay.
That also is a good suppressant. Yep.
Wanda on the text line, 1-877-332-8255. My hollyhocks have some disease with yellowing leaves and they're not really fully blooming. What should I do for now and next year?
So the hollyhocks have yellowing leaves. It sounds like it's a nutrient deficiency in the area. So make sure you're fertilizing them like every 2 weeks with your hollyhocks you could do. Two to three weeks. That's a 20-20-20 fertilizer, or you can use a 15-30-15. Hollyhocks will sometimes reseed themselves. I know in Rick's garden, he's got hollyhocks coming up everywhere. So if you don't want them to reseed in random spots, you'll have to just deadhead them at that point in time, or else once they get to bloom, the blooms will kind of explode. And they'll go everywhere. When hollyhocks are younger, sometimes what I'll do is I'll give them a little bit of light pinching, and then that will help with some bushing and branching too, which might get you some more new growth, which and in turn will turn to more flowers too.
Okay, there you go. Maureen is in Saskatoon. My quarantine cucumbers are producing like crazy. Success story with cucumbers. I haven't heard that much this year. What's causing some of the tiny cukes to be yellow? I've been pinching them off.
If you have a lot of production, it might just be that the plant has too many cucumbers on it to be able to take all of them to their full finish potential. So thinning out your cucumbers is a good idea, or when they get to the blooming stage, if you have too many blooms on your plants, just thinning them out, that might also help. And then just a nice organic fertilizer will help keep them nice and green and lush and keep on growing. So you can, with your vegetables, fertilize with those organics right up until harvest.
Okay. This is Julie in Battleford, one of our regulars. And Julie says, tomatoes, indeterminates, lots of height, blossoms and tomatoes starting, but the leaves are few and sort of lime green instead of a dark green. Yep. May have been an overwatering issue, question mark. Have corrected the watering and increased the 9-16-16 organic fertilizer to replace the nutrients kind of leached out. But is there something else I can do? It's been 2 weeks and the plants are not really responding. Pictures show a better green than it really does look. And so Julie sent us some pictures of the tomatoes, which don't look terrible, actually.
Now, one thing is that if you don't, the leaves aren't what you're going to get. You're wanting to focus on the fruit production right now. So continue fertilizing is really important. If they had an overwatering issue, that's why you're seeing a nutrient deficiency in your leaves and them being a little bit chlorotic. So you're doing the right thing by upping the fertilizer a little bit right now, but you don't want to go like too crazy and over fertilize when you're in fruit production. Yep. So, just keep things steady and watch your watering.
It takes more than 2 weeks to get the new roots to generate and get everything going up to the true plant.
And to top it off, I mean, we know that tomatoes like really hot weather.
Yes.
Yeah. To make lots of fruit to really go crazy. Have we had much really hot weather in the last 2 weeks? Nope. No. You know, like it's been definitely sections of rain, which doesn't help the situation. And that also doesn't give you hot and sunny, right?
But I've actually seen more of the opposite thing where we have a ton of leaves and no fruit production. So the fact that you have fruit on there and your leaves maybe aren't as great. I think you're doing well so far. So good job.
Yeah, that's a thing for sure. Hey, we're going to go to our break in a second here. We'll keep going with the text line when we get back. But we've just got 1 minute right now. I want to talk about kind of what I'm seeing is, man, there's so many lawns around my neighborhood that it's the clover that's showing up.
Yep. Moisture.
Where is it coming from?
Well, moisture.
Okay.
Moisture and less sunlight, like we talked about.
Right? Yeah.
It's all perfect conditions. So all plants thrive in perfect conditions, right?
Yeah.
And you'll have more fescues in seasons where we have a drier year, and you'll have more clover in years when we have wet.
Yeah. My yard is same thing.
And smoky.
Well, I'm definitely on my hands and knees picking it out of my lawn.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't want this here, right? Like
The trifle, that yellow flower you're seeing in the ditches, it's just everywhere.
It's just the conditions.
It's just the conditions made things perfect for them to really grow.
It's just one of those things.
And you know what? Some people don't like it, and other people say, you know, it's not a bad thing.
Does Kill-X work on that?
Sometimes it'll work. There's actually a clover killer out there.
Oh, really? Okay. That doesn't wreck your grass.
It doesn't wreck your grass.
Okay.
But Jay, how many people are trying to add clover into their yards?
Lots of
people are doing that.
Knock it off. I don't want clover in my grass.
It's because you like a perfectly manicured yard.
That's clover, right.
Nothing wrong with clover in the grass.
Oh,
it actually is good for the bees and everything else.
Doesn't look nice. Looks like weeds. Okay, Diane, we're going to get to your call in a moment here when we get back, and news update for everybody right now. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick, this is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. A couple calls to get through, and then we're also going to talk about our text line here. So first one is Regina. They're both Regina, and we're talking to Cindy right now. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Awesome. What's going on in your yard?
I got a 25-30 foot towering poplar, and it looks like it's got a big gash in it, and there's brown stuff oozing out of it. It's about halfway up the tree.
Yeah, if that's happening, there's probably got a canker in it. If it's oozing, and then that usually means that the tree is on its way out.
Okay. Can that canker spread to other trees?
It can spread to other, if you have other poplars in there, it can spread to the other poplars because the insect take that ooze and just spread it to other trees, right?
So your best to cut the tree down and dispose of it? Is that
if you have a whole row of them and that kind of stuff, you know? Yeah.
Or your neighbors with them, right?
Yeah. Once they start oozing like that, then it's usually you'll see this tree, it'll take a long time. It'll take quite a few years, but you'll see it slowly decline. And you'll start losing the
tree. Nothing we can do?
And you'll start, no, there's nothing you can do because it's viral, right? It's in the sap system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. There's no chemical, no fungicide, anything else you can use with that.
One thing you can do is if you have a space in that area, start planting a smaller tree.
Yep.
Because so you can get that other tree established so that when the other tree has to come down, then you have another tree in the yard. Yep.
And then I wouldn't put an aspen in that area. I'd go with, if you want something narrow, go with like a Parkland Pillar birch or Dakota Pinnacle birch. Same tail. It's a narrow birch tree that looks very similar, only you don't get that issue.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Sorry for the bad news, Cindy, but good luck. Take care.
Okay, bye.
1-877-332-8255, and we're going to do one more call here from Diane, who's in Regina. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
What's going on with your junipers?
Well, they're all turning brown, and they're shooting up high in the middle.
And they're all turning brown inside or what? Inside
them?
Yeah. So you have, it sounds like you have spider mite. Okay.
Oh.
And so what you need to do is blast them with cold water a lot into the tree, you know, like quite often, because the spider mite can't reproduce in the high humidity locations. Okay. That's why they do really well in drought and don't do really well in rainy years. Okay. And so blast them, and you can also use a thing called Endol. It's an insecticidal soap, canola oil, and a pyrethrin in it, right? And you can spray them with that as well.
Okay, and should we trim off the ones that are coming up higher than the rest?
Yep, that's not a problem at all.
Just cut those back, and it can be done anytime now?
You can do that anytime now.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, take care, Dan. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
1-877-332-8255 is the number that you text as well. So let's go to the text line right now. This is from Monica, who's in Saskatoon, says, my son grew 4 hot pepper plants inside a garden box in a window. He's been successful in the past. This year, he was inundated with aphids. He sprayed Endol every 5 days, plus neem oil. All the blooms have fallen off, and it still has aphids. Is there something else he could have done?
Well, one thing is that you don't really want to be spraying a pyrethrin on the bloom. So when you're spraying the plant, you want to spray the plant, but maybe try and avoid the blooms because then you might have trouble with fruit production later on. Yeah. I would every 5 days is quite a bit. With Endol, I would do it every 10 days. The other thing that you can do is if they're in a box where maybe you can get them to a sink, is just rinse them off, is a good thing to do. Or the other thing is pick up some praying mantis or some ladybugs and put ladybugs on them. Those ladybugs, if it's in a small contained area, will take care of those aphids so quickly.
Yeah, it might be tough inside the house. I think they said it's inside the house,
well,
right?
Inside a garden box in a window.
In a window. So
I'm like wondering if he started them in the window and then moved them into a garden box outside.
Because inside it's really hard, like even the greenhouse, once it's really hard to control them. Outside, nature takes care of them, you know, controls them a bit. But in those kind of conditions, it's tough. And peppers are an indicator plant. You'll put greenhouse, put peppers out there to see if they have aphids, because aphids are just attracted to them.
Yeah, but doing a good wash with the pepper plants too. So if I had a small pepper plant or a transplant that I was showing a sign of aphids, I'd actually take it to the sink and I would rinse as many of those aphids off as possible.
Or if it's in a pot, tip it upside down and dip it right into
Dip it right in. But you want to try and control the aphids before the blossoms get on.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, at this point, if the blossoms fell off, I don't know if there's still peppers on the plant, possibly, right?
Yeah. It's going to be hard to get new pepper blossoms at this point.
But if there are some that still can finish, though, right?
Absolutely.
That are there on the plant, they're still good. Maybe the thing to do now is to go see if you can find, ladybugs in a garden center right now?
Not really. No.
Yeah, but you might be able to find them in just outside. A pile of leaves outside.
Right. Yeah. Go like seek some out.
Seek some out.
Get them in a container, like an old sour cream container.
Exactly.
And then bring them to the plant, put them on the plant, right?
Yeah.
And then
have a little,
right there.
Have a little bit of water on a little piece of something, wax paper, something like that, because they love to have moisture, and that'll help them stick around as well.
And then if you put them right there at the feeding trough, they'll stay on the plant, like the ladybug.
As long as there's food there,
they'll stay there.
They'll keep staying there.
And ladybugs don't eat plants, right?
So
that's the thing. They're not going to go after the plant either. So that's kind of a bonus. 1-877-332-8255. This is Gladys, who's in Prince Albert. I'd like to know what your thoughts are on the product called Pounce. Why are there directions to mix a 1 liter bottle of water into a potato bug killer? Would the poison be in the potatoes?
Pounce.
You know, I actually don't like giving directions about a chemical on the air when I don't have the packaging right in front of me.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So if you wanted to call the garden center, or if you have the packaging in front of you, you can call the 1-800 number on the back of the packaging and just talk to the experts right there. I don't have the packaging here right in front of me, so I just would rather not.
What's Pounce used for, just so we know?
It controls sucking insects, basically. So cutworms, flea beetles, caterpillars, aphids.
That sort of thing.
So anything that kind of sucks on your plants. It's just application rates and how to mix it and everything like that. I don't have the packaging here, so I can't advise.
And would you use Pounce to kill potato bugs? Is that an effective control?
Yeah.
Is it safe to use on potatoes, Rick?
Yes, you can use it for potatoes. It's safe to, I know it's safe because they use it for in the potato flea beetles and all that kind of stuff commercially. So yeah, it's good for that.
We won't comment on how
potatoes, vegetables, flowers. I can't comment on how to mix it right now.
Right, yeah.
But yes, you can use Pounce and you can use it on potatoes, vegetables, flowers. Make sure if it's any crop that you can eat on the packaging, it will always say how many days till harvest before you can actually.
So follow those instructions
They do use that lots on potatoes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yep. There we go. So sorry we can't answer more, Gladys, because we got to know the instructions on that thing. But 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to this next one. I planted a small nine bark early this summer in the wrong spot. Can I move it now?
Nope.
No.
Wait until the fall, until the leaves start falling off, or better yet, wait until the middle of April. And not the end of April, but the middle of April. As soon as the frost's out of the ground. If you move it now, when did they plant it, you said, sorry?
Well, this spring.
Yeah, spring. So it would have started rooting already. So if we get a hot spell here, then it won't be good for that plant. It'll stress it.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Ian has one more question. It says, my nine bark's growing nice, but all the buds just sort of shrivel up. Any idea with that? So that's kind of those little tiny flowers that they get.
Yeah. So if they're shriveling up, watch for aphids, because some nine barks will get aphids. And also One thing you'll get too, if you notice, if they get any white on them, because it can shrivel up from powdery mildew as well.
It looks like that green one there in the picture might have had a little bit of mildew on it.
Right. So it's powdery mildew. Make sure you're not watering at nighttime. Water during the day or early in the morning, because if water sits in the leaves and nine barks, you will get powdery mildew.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Let's take a quick break. We got the lightning round coming up next to finish off all the rest of these text messages. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. It is the lightning round right now. I'm just trying to get through one here that I wanted to mention, and I'm just typing up the answer because it's a question about getting hydrangeas to bloom. Doug says we had hydrangeas that purchased, you know, from Dutch growers about 3 years ago, but we only ever get a shrub, no flowers blooming.
Yep.
Faces north, not that sun, but get a little sun. They knew about the spot when the plant was sold to them, but there's always one key to success with those things, right?
Yep, aluminum sulfate. Mm-hmm. With the hydrangeas, they do way better. I mean, Jay, you have it.
Yep.
You've done that yourself, right? You had some that didn't bloom all the time, started using aluminum sulfate, now the years bloom all the time, right?
Now, on the north side...
Well, I have to keep going, though.
Yes.
On the north side of the house, you're not going to get as many blooms, and the blooms are going to come later in the season.
Yes.
I have hydrangeas planted on the north side of my house, and also on the east side of my house, and some on the west side of my house. And they start blooming with the west blooms first, then the east, and then the north at the very end. So
these are about 4 to 5 hours of sunlight a day, mm-hmm. okay, to bloom if it's on the north side.
Yeah.
So as long as you got morning and evening sun on the north side, you're fine. But if it's in a little cove where, you know, the sun's cut off in the morning and nighttime, then they won't do as well.
Yeah.
Donna is in Watson on the text line. After the heavy rains and the wind we had this past week, our garden corn is laying flat on the ground. Is it going to stand up on its own? What do you suggest?
Yeah, you might want to stake it up if it'll have a hard time standing up on its own.
So you can get
it'll be lodged, right? So it'll be with the stalks, you may want to, you know, get some bamboo stakes.
I was going to say, you can probably
stakes and string.
You can probably find a pack of bamboo sticks.
Not that expensive.
No. And then just stick them in the ground,
Stake them back up.
If you really want the corn, that's probably the way to go, right?
Yep.
1-877-332-8255. Keep moving on our lightning round. This is Val, who lives in Saskatoon, says, good morning. Wonderful show. Thanks, Val. I've got an 18 to 20 foot oak tree that was grown from an acorn picked at the university. It's kind of neat. During the last rain, one of the lower branches began to sag almost to the ground because of the weight of the acorns on it.
Yep.
I do not believe the branch is damaged, but we want to know if we can cut the acorns off to relieve the branch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Trim them off.
Yep.
And if it's making a lot of acorns, that means it's stressed out, Rick?
Sometimes it means that it could be stressed out because if it's wanting to reproduce itself, right?
So along with that is check your watering and fertilize the tree because it might be telling you those are sometimes signs.
It takes a lot to stress an oak because it sends a taproot down to the water table. So,
right.
I mean, usually it's, take care of itself, but it can be under stress.
Might need some food, though.
Sometimes it's too much water for oak trees.
Okay. David has a couple questions. Removing a towering tree aspen, anything we should do before we cut it down? I don't know.
No, the only thing with aspen is they don't tend to sucker so much. If it's tower poplar, they'll sucker like crazy. So you may want to kill the tree before you cut it down.
Yep.
But other than that, aspens, no problem.
And David says it collected 400 slugs off of a couple of plants a couple of days ago.
Oof. Yep.
What can you do to prevent it?
Put out little containers of beer and in little pie plates, and then they'll kind of be attracted to that area, and then you can dispose of them that way. There is also a snail bait that you can get, and you can put that out into your yard and help attract them that way.
And it's safe for pets and everything else too now.
But they like really moist conditions, so watching how much water you have in the area is
great. I like putting a little strip of plywood down in my garden or something like that, or board, and then putting the bait underneath it because they'll go underneath there during when the hot sun's out, and they'll feed on it and just die.
And on a daisy, there are rows of red insects lined up. Last year, that damaged the plant. What can you do about that?
It might be a red aphid that they have.
Okay. Yeah.
So just an end-all spray or spraying them off with some cold water or grabbing some ladybugs.
This is Tom, who's in Dundurn. I live in the Sand Hills out near Dundurn. Every time it rains, I have snails everywhere. Yep. This has only been the last 2 years I've noticed it. Will they harm anything? Yeah, they will eventually.
They'll be like a slug, kind
of. They'll be a slug, and they suck on the plants and that kind of stuff. You'll get
holes in your plants. So similar to what you would do to get rid of the slugs is just trying to track them or pick them is the best way to get rid of them.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Let's see. What's the next one here? Brett says, good morning. We've got, let's just check the time. We've got time here. Brett says, good morning. We've got 7-year-old hybrid poplars. For the most part, they're growing good. We're on a new farmyard and want as much growth as possible, but some of the trees have multiple main branches. Wondering if we should prune any and what time of year.
Yeah, I like pruning those off in the fall once the leaves start turning color.
Okay.
And because right now they're putting on caliper and that kind of stuff, like the trunk size. So yeah, pruning them off in the fall or otherwise in the end of March or first week of April.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead and prune.
This one is from who? Sharon in Saskatoon says, can I trim my bird's nest cedar right now?
Bird's nest spruce is what it is.
Yeah, it's a spruce,
And you can do a little bit of pruning on it, absolutely, right now. Minor, because everything was so late this year, actually mine has a little bit of growth on it right now still. Normally they're finished their growth. But yeah, you can do a bit of pruning. And just remember, you only prune back so you still see green, just like any juniper or little spruce tree. If you prune it back so you just got sticks, it's going to take a while for it to come back.
And remember, we're well into August, so do not be fertilizing any of your shrubs, trees, evergreens. It's done for fertilizing those, especially your maples and birches. Do not fertilize them.
Right. Okay. This is from Pat, who's just south of Saskatoon. These are my two bee palm plants I just planted this summer. One's facing south, the other's east. What's going on? So there's a couple of pictures here. Mm-hmm. This is one of them. The leaves are black edges around the leaves.
So
one looks like this, though. That kind of looks like...
Yeah, it's a fungal that she's got going on there. So probably from some overhead watering or lots of the rain that we've been getting.
Yep.
Bee balm is susceptible to that. You'll find probably less of that happening in the south side as you would on the other side of the house. But using a garden fungicide is what you'd want to do for that.
Yeah, like a garden sulfur.
It spreads by spores, so make sure if you're using garden gloves or any pruning tools, you make sure you sterilize them.
But garden sulfur is the way to take care of that.
Yep. Yeah.
Copper sulfate, is that the same thing?
Copper or sulfur. Fungicide or a Safer's 3-in-1, something like that would work too.
Okay. Let's see. Who is this from? Lori's near Pike Lake. Is there any way to control chickweed?
Making sure it doesn't go to seed, and if it does go to seed, using corn gluten and those kind of things will stop the in the grass and that, not in the garden. Okay, can't use corn gluten in the garden, but picking it so it doesn't go to seed, that's the big one, because it has a zillion seeds as well.
Yeah,
crawling around on your hands and knees,
unfortunately,
grabbing it when
we go, like my wife and I go around the garden, we each carry a little 10-gallon pot with us, and we pick the weeds and we throw them in the pot.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for our text line today. We're out of time too. So thanks for joining us. We'll be back same time, same place, live again next weekend, right?
Yeah. Yes.
There's the big car show next weekend in Saskatoon too. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Okay. See you then. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You've been listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.